wasn't me singing. Now, I love to sing, but I only know one person that really loves to hear me sing. That's my Heavenly Father. And that can encourage you if you're like me, not much of a singer. Just go ahead and sing anyway because He loves it. Oh, I got to have some water. I don't know. When you get older, you take a lot of pills, normally, and they dry you out. Besides getting up here, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to thank the church again for faithfully supporting us in the ministry and praying for us. I have an unspoken request about my health, and I wish you'd pray for that. It's nothing real serious, but as far as I know. Do we ever know? But thank you, guys. And most of the folks here know us. This is my wife, Sandy, and I'm Ralph, or R.E. Stokes, and we're in the ministry of getting in juvenile detention centers and jails around wherever I can get in to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And the Lord's opened many doors for us, and if you keep praying, He'll open more, because I'm looking for it. But thank you for that. And if you would stand, we'll read Ephesians 3:1 to start with. Then you can be seated. And I understand that we're doing baptizing tonight and things are going on. But the most important thing we can do is look at the Word of God.
Amen.
And He says in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you for this church, dear Lord. I do. And Lord, I love you, and thank you, Lord, for showing me one day I was a prisoner, lost, headed to hell without you, and you drew me to you. And now, Lord, I'm glad to be a prisoner for you doing something else. So, Lord, I love you tonight, and I pray, Father, you'd help us see some things in the Word of God for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. It's a curious thing to me that the Apostle Paul says this, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles," in that in the previous book, he says in Galatians, "No more a servant, but a son." And so he's a son of God, just like I am, and I'm glad to be the Lord's prisoner.
Amen.
And you know what a prisoner does? Whatever he's told to do. You know where he goes? Wherever he's told to go. And you can be a prisoner of something else. Now, if you're lost tonight, you are a prisoner. You're a prisoner to your own sin. You're bound in sin. Is there a songbook up here? No, there ain't. My son-in-law has a songbook. How about that? And he can sing. I'm not going to sing. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to read a verse that speaks to my heart. And you may recognize the song, but here I was in 1982. Long my imprisoned spirit lay. Know where I'm going? Fast bound in sin and nature's night. You know, the Bible says, Paul says one thing, if you keep in memory what I preach to you, and Peter says, stir up your minds by remembrance. And we ought to remember from time to time where we were before we got saved. If you're saved tonight, he says, I was fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. You know what it takes the Spirit of God to wake up a dead sinner? I can preach that I blew in the face if you're sitting there unsaved tonight. It won't do a bit of good. Unless the Spirit of God comes by and touches your dead soul and says, wake up! Then you hear Him, and then you make a choice. Then you make a choice. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke. The dungeon, flame with light. Oh, listen, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed. That's what happens when you break free from those sins. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that, fellas. Only He can do it. Only he died for sinners. Nobody else. Nobody else would. But then he says, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, the Apostle Paul was the one that the Lord Jesus Christ caught on the road to Damascus, going about killing folks like us, imprisoning, and knocked him down. Now, in 1982, when I was lost, he didn't actually knock me down, but he let me know that without him, I was going to die and go to hell. Now, some folks think you could love people into salvation, and I want to find that in the Bible. Now, you need to love them enough to tell them the truth. You need to love them enough to tell them the truth. Now, that's true. But you can tell them about the love of God and all that, and they'll never get saved unless they know they're dead in trespasses and sins, headed to a devil's hell without God. They won't get saved. They'll get religion. I had religion before I got saved. You know what religion does for you? Makes you feel good. Makes you feel good about yourself. Because religion says you do this, you do this, you do this, you're right with God. And you feel good about yourself. Salvation, on the other hand, you know this, a filthy, rotten sinner that ought to be in hell tonight. Every one of us. And by the way, every one of us are prisoners of somebody or something. Now, if you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ, he sets the prisoner free. That's what he came to do, to set the prisoner free. But you can be saved and still be a prisoner of somebody else or something else. And he still wants to set you free. He still wants to get you free from whatever is binding you tonight. If something's got a hold of you that's not him, he's here and he wants to set you free from that. So turn your Bibles to Acts 28. The Apostle Paul, looks like from the time he got saved, he felt like he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now maybe for a different reason, same Lord, just a different thing he was doing at the time. But Acts 28 and verse 20, he's got the elders of Israel there. And in Acts 28, the elders of Israel are about to do a thing for Israel they wish they had never done. When Israel was standing there before the cross and cried out, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children," they should have stopped with "let his blood be upon us." They should have. Because they went ahead and cursed their children, and their children have suffered for it down through the centuries. But here, they hear their last chance to get right with God. And Paul says in verse 20, "For this cause," he's speaking to them there, "therefore I call for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain." There he was still a prisoner of Jesus Christ, but he was doing it for Israel. Going to the Jew first and also the Gentiles. There's some folks today think they go to the Jew first and then the Gentiles, but they don't. Because if Paul was still in that part of his ministry and came through here, he wouldn't come to this church. He'd go to the synagogue if there's one here first. He would seek out every Jew first and then turn to us Gentiles. But, oh, listen, look down there, chapter 8, verse 20. Well, let's see. Well, verse 24, he preached to them, "Some believe the things which were spoken and some believe not." Now, preacher, listen, you ain't going to get everybody saved. They just ain't going to listen. But that ain't our job, to get them saved. I don't go around trying to get people saved. I go around, here in the South, I try to get them lost. Because everybody in the South is saved. If I ask for a show of hands, everybody in here would say they're saved tonight. And I don't believe it for a minute. I don't believe it. I don't believe everybody is. Somebody here just got religion, they ain't got salvation. Somebody here knows all about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't know him. See, you can know the King James Bible is the Word of God. You can know that salvation is by grace through faith. You can know that the blood of Jesus Christ washes away sin. But if you don't know him, you don't know him. So you better get to know him. But he says in verse 25, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by... It's interesting to me that the Word of God says he spoke one word. And it goes on here. I like it, though. I mean, God knows what he's doing. I don't. But he said he spoke one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, saying, hearing you shall hear, shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes are have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now I would think, he's talking to Israel, but I'm afraid today he's talking to Baptist churches. I know churches today just as dead as Israel was right there. I do. Listen, if you're a missionary, you get around other churches, you find out what's going on, and I've been in them where I couldn't even hardly open the book. I mean, just such a spirit there that just, it's closed. Now, thank God, every time I've been here, it hadn't been a problem. Now, there's somebody here that's trying to close it down, but God's stronger than you are. Word of God's stronger than you are. But look at verse 28. You can thank God for this. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Boy, if that hadn't happened, we'd be out. If God hadn't made that move, we wouldn't be here tonight, because we'd all be headed to hell. Wouldn't be nothing we could do about it. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Or you want me to get finished? Say amen. Some bold soul. I'm going to finish. We'll do it quickly. Come down to verse 9. He says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Some things were hid in God. One of them is this dispensation of grace in which we live. Turn to Luke 4 in your Bibles. In Luke 4, the Lord Jesus Christ stands up to read, and he reads from Isaiah. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. While you're turning pages, I'll get another drink, because it's like a desert up here. It's dry. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And look at this. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Interesting to me, the Lord Jesus Christ's custom was to go to church when he was here. And we got people today that claim to be saved and hadn't been in church in 100 years. That's a little bit of exaggeration. Not that old, but it makes you wonder. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, period. You see that period there? All right, hold it there. Turn to Isaiah 61. We'll look at where he was reading from. You know, people all the time trying to figure out when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You understand? You've heard that, right? I remember in the 80s, somebody put out a book, 88 Reasons He Was Coming in 88. And they must have got all 88 reasons wrong, because he didn't come in 88. And then Y2K, he had to come then, you know. The world was going to go into chaos, and the Lord Jesus Christ had to show up. I mean, return. He's here, but he hadn't returned in his person yet. But he didn't come then, and then somebody figured out that the calendar was 4 years wrong, according to them anyway. And so it was going to be 2004 he came, and, he hadn't. Here it is, 2016. And you know what I believe? I believe he knows, and he's not telling us. I believe he knows. I believe he knows 100%. Listen, when he was on the earth, his flesh was a veil. He purposely knew some things not that he knew before he came to the earth. So he didn't start in Bethlehem. That's just how he chose to come down here so he could grow up and die for our sins. He didn't come. I mean, that wasn't the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. You search the Scriptures. He says, search the Scriptures, for they testify of me. That's from Genesis to Revelation. He's all the way through it. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma. Now, if he and Luke had went on, then again, we wouldn't be here. Because the next thing that happens after the comma, the day of vengeance of our God. Then he comforts all that mourn, but the day of vengeance comes next. And in Luke 4, he puts a period, and this whole age of grace hangs on that period. Now tell me this King James Bible don't have some important stuff in it. Tell me you need the Greek and Hebrew to figure this out. Like one preacher said, I know a little Greek, he runs a restaurant down the road, and I know a Hebrew, and he runs another one over there. That's all the Greek and Hebrew I know. That's all I need to know. You need more, then God bless you. But I don't. I'm just an old dumb boy from Alabama that don't know anything but the King James Bible is the Word of God. I'm stuck. Hey, listen, it's the one that showed me salvation. It's the one God woke me up with. You think I'm going to give it up for some dead language that somebody's dragging around trying to get some truth out of and can't find truth if it hit them in the face? Hey, that's the way it is. Now back to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll finish it up. Ephesians chapter 3, there's a whole lot in the chapter. But if you're saved tonight, he has a wonderful promise at the end of the chapter. Down around verse 20. It says, now unto him, that's my Lord Jesus Christ, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And if you won't amen it, God amens it. Well, what a promise. If you're saved tonight and you're still in prison with something, take that verse right there and use it. God is able to do abundantly above all that you ask or think. So let him have it. Now I know this. When I got saved, he took away my desire to drink. He did it that night. I mean, he took it away. And I believe this. If you're saved tonight, God changed something in you. He changed it. We don't clean ourselves up. I still don't have the strength to do it. I didn't have the strength to save myself. I don't have the strength to clean myself up. But he did it. And so tonight, if you're saved and you've got something that is just, and you know, he wants to help you. He wants to help you get by it. If it's something that's causing a bad testimony in your life, it's like being in prison. But again, he sets the prisoner free. And he wants to do it tonight for you. Amen. If you're not saved tonight, He has already spoken to your heart. You know it. I don't have to ask. You know it. Just like if you're saved tonight, you know it. I don't understand how people doubt their salvation. I really don't. I was dead. And I passed from death to life. How can you get over that? You believe Lazarus ever got over that day? You believe the prodigal son ever got over that day when he came home? You think he ever forgot that? That he met, the father met him and said, put shoes on his feet and a ring on his hand and clothed him and killed the fatted calf for it? You think he ever forgot that? Ever doubted it? Now, I don't say you can't doubt. I just say you shouldn't. Why? You have the Word of God on it. You have the Spirit of God on it. You have God Himself interceding for you. So tonight, number one, if you're not saved, get that settled. You can walk out of here tonight a free man or a free woman. And I never knew what freedom was till I got saved. But tonight, if you're not saved, you can walk out of here free. I mean free. You think you're free when you're unsaved, but you're not. I thought I was, but I wasn't. But when I got saved, I got free. Then if you're saved tonight and you're still dragging around some of them old grave clothes, you know what I'm talking about. You're still dragging some of that stuff around. Take it to Him tonight. Take it to Him. He can handle it. Believe me, He can take care of it. He can. Whatever it is. Let's pray. Father, thank You for